And as a result, just like the physicists back in 1893, the biologists got a little bit haughty and said, "We know it. We know how life works. Everything is so clear and understandable. All we need now is one last biology project. It'll be the last project, and after that, all of biology will be understood and manipulated." This last biology project is called the Human Genome Project. Its function? To look at all the genes that comprise a human. And the reason for that is if we could make a compendium, a list of genes for every factor and character of human life, then if someone has a problem, we will perhaps be able to genetically engineer them with a new gene that will compensate for that problem, and we would be able to control and dominate their issues. Of course, the mission statement of science was going to be resolved in this final Human Genome Project. Well, now we finally get to that cosmic joke, the one that's unfolding right now. And listen to this, because it's a real exciting moment. And it goes like this. Scientists who already knew how life worked through the genes had recognized this, that for every protein in the human body, you need a gene as a blueprint to make that protein. Well, if we have over 100,000 different proteins, it automatically implied that when the Human Genome Project got finished, we'd have at least 100,000 genes, each gene programming one of the protein building blocks of the human biology. Secondarily, there were other genes that they recognized must exist, genes that don't actually make protein building blocks, but genes that control the activity of other genes. This form of DNA is called regulatory DNA, and they represent genes that don't make product, but do make control mechanisms. So basically, they said, okay, there'll be 100,000 plus genes to make products, building blocks, proteins, and then another 20 to 40,000 genes that would be classified as regulatory DNA to control the protein-making genes. Well, they did this project between 1987 when it was founded and in 2001 when the results came in. And I remember those results when they came in, looking forward to them to see what they would find. And the answer is, rather than 120,000 to 140,000 expected genes, they only found 25,000 genes. And this was a major shock, because according to the mechanism, we needed in excess of 100,000 genes. The issue is, how can you explain for human life, human complexity, the characters of mentation and consciousness, and all of the abilities that we express in our body with only 25,000 genes? Especially when you consider that some of the most primitive organisms on this planet have about the same number of genes. Because before they did the Human Genome Project, they started with other animals that geneticists had been studying. One of those animals is a small little worm that's hardly visible with your eye and has about 1,240 cells. This little organism, with a name longer than the organism, Caenorhabditis elegans, was found in the first human genome experiments, the prototypes that were carried out on this worm, to contain only about 24,000 genes. And all of a sudden, 24,000 genes felt to be the minimum number of genes to make an animal. They then studied the fruit fly, or the Drosophila. Probably you even did genetic studies on them in school. And the issue about this is that, of course, anything about the genome of the Drosophila would be very useful, considering there was 100 years of research on mating these flies and studying their behaviors. So they look forward to looking for the genome of the Drosophila. And as they had already anticipated before the results came in, that as an organism gains complexity, that complexity would be reflected in greater numbers of genes. So while they found 24,000 genes in the Caenorhabditis elegans, they were expecting a lot more genes in the Drosophila. And when the genome project for the Drosophila revealed its results, there were only about 18,000 genes. And all of a sudden, that just threw a big monkey wrench in their thoughts for this reason. How can you make a more complex organism, such as a fruit fly, compared to that little tiny roundworm, the Caenorhabditis elegans, with less genes? It didn't make sense according to the model. And then, of course, when the Human Genome Project came out and found that there were only 25,000 genes, that really shocked them because, my goodness, you can make a whole human with 50 trillion cells and all the characters that come with the human biology. Compared that to the biology of the little Caenorhabditis elegans, that it takes 24,000 genes to make this little worm and only 1,000 more genes to make the human. Of course, everything started to fall apart. And yet, unfortunately, science really wasn't about to go tell the public about this, because the science was very happy to tell the public the Human Genome Project was totally successful. We found all the genes. Well, that is in fact the truth. They did find all the Janes, 25,000 of them. The unfortunate part is they really haven't said, well, how can you explain biology with over 100,000 genes missing from the model that you require? And this is where all of a sudden a new biology comes in, the cosmic joke. They actually thought they knew exactly how life worked, only to find out they were wrong. There were not enough genes to provide for that mechanism that they so believed in. There was actually experiments over 100 years ago that revealed that genes didn't control life. But those experiments were considered to be an aside, an exception to the rule, and they didn't really want to talk about it. And these experiments 100 years ago revealed something very interesting. They found that you could remove the nucleus of a cell. And the fact is, the nucleus was the organelle inside the cell that contained all the genes. As the structure inside the cell, the nucleus as a repository for the DNA was considered to be the brain of a cell. In fact, many textbooks still refer to the nucleus as the brain of the cell for the simple reason. Since the nucleus contains the genes, and the genes control life, then the nucleus as a repository for all these genes would be the organelle that would control life. It would be the brain. And yet, what was interesting in these studies over 100 years ago, they removed the nuclei from cells, a process called enucleation. And what was the big surprise? And that was, after they removed the genes, the cells still lived. Some of them could live for 2 or more months. They just didn't sit there. They ate. They drank. They got rid of waste matter. They moved around. They communicated with other cells. They could avoid toxins. And basically, their behaviors were particularly unperturbed by the fact that they had no genes. What you really have to do is stop and ask a question. Well, if you consider the nucleus to be the brain of the cell, then ask a simple question. What is the consequence of taking the brain out of any organism and then throwing it away? And the answer, of course, is death. Immediate death. And yet, when they enucleated these cells, the cells didn't die. As I said, many of them lasted for 2 months. They then started to die off after some period of time. Well, the initial point is this. Obviously, the nucleus couldn't have been the brain of the cell because the cells still had a life. They had an integrated, purposeful behavior that they carried out in the absence of genes. So something in the cell must be controlling that cell, but it had to be something other than the genes. Well, the issue is, what is it that controls life? And this is where the revolution begins. Because once we start to look into what controls life, we move away from the belief that we are automatons, biochemical machines controlled by genes, to recognize that we have very profound powers over the unfoldment of our internal biology as well as the experiences in our external world.